Well, technically, last week we began our Family Matters series. We just want to include the Mother's Day sermon into that series. And that last week we talked about the faithful ministry of motherhood. How many enjoyed last Sunday? We had a good time. We're so thankful and appreciative for all your faith and love and support last week. Amen. It was a powerful time. Today, we're going to continue in our series. We're calling it the Family Matters series. Family Matters, not the TV series, but hallelujah, the Holy Ghost series, amen, the Holy Spirit series, and Building a Healthy Household, part one. So if you need last week's teaching, it was powerful, the faithful ministry of motherhood, please partake of that or ask or request a copy of the CD from our sound, audio, and video department. And they'll be glad to help you. So we're going to be talking about building a healthy household, and this is part one because we're not going to finish everything today. So in Galatians chapter 6, verse 10, the scripture tells us, therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially those who are of the household of faith. Everybody say household. And in Ephesians 2:19, it tells us, now therefore you are no longer strangers, foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and the members of the household. Everybody say household of God. Hallelujah. And of course, in 2 Timothy 4:19, we find the scripture telling us, greet Priscilla and Aquila of the household. Everybody say household. Of Onesiphorus. That's another good name. I like these names. Hallelujah. I'm going to go meet him and say, man, how'd you get that name? So everybody say Onesiphorus. All right. So I think I'll call him Oni when I get to heaven. Amen. the first thought I want to convey to you today is to abide in the household of faith. And this is where there's a lot of pressure today to be a wanderer or a cruismatic instead of a charismatic in the kingdom of God. And so, in other words, we drift. We don't settle down roots. Because God has a household for each and every one of us. And again, in Galatians 6:10, it says, therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all. Especially, everybody say especially. So we generally should be do-gooders, but especially to the what? The household of faith. That's the family of God. That's the family of believers. That's your spiritual family. So all of our good works should be amplified in the household of faith. That means the church should see our best doing good. We give our best effort, our best time, our best energy, our best money, our best service in the household of faith. Amen? In Philippians, again, we're going to read down to verse from 19 to 22. It says, now therefore you're no longer strangers or foreigners, but fellow citizens. Everybody say citizens. Now, citizenry is one of the most priceless commodities that an individual can have as part of a nation or government, to become a citizen. You know, a lot of people are applying to become a U.S. citizen. But it's in this case, we are a citizen of the kingdom of God. We're not subjects in the kingdom of God. We are citizens. Everybody say citizens. Citizens. We have our citizenship, the scripture says, is in heaven. That means we're on the roster of the kingdom of heaven. That's a big deal. That's a really, really big deal. You gotta go back and study that out. He said, with the saints and members, everybody say members. Members. Of what? The household of God. We're members in the household of God. Having built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building being fitted together grows into a holy temple. Everybody say a holy temple. Holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. So we're to abide, friends, in the household of faith, and we are members of the household of God. In the scripture we just read in Ephesians 2, we see by the Holy Spirit, the Apostle Paul conveyed to us three metaphors to illustrate our unity in the body of Christ. Number one, as fellow citizens, everybody say citizens. Both Jews and Gentiles have become a part of the same kingdom. Used to be separate, now they're together in Christ. Under the Old Testament. As members of God's household. Everybody say members. So you belong to God's house. God's family. You're part of the family of God. So all believers then become one spiritual family. And as a holy temple, all believers together form a habitation of God in the Spirit. So we are a holy temple. When we collectively gather together, we are a temple of the Holy Spirit. A habitation of God by the Spirit of God. Now you got to get a concept of this. Because some people easily, let me say this real strong, straight, so you can get it. It's easier to leave a church than it is a family. Because some people think, well, I don't have to come to church. But when there's a family gathering, it makes a difference to you. Let us do good to how many people? All, but especially who? The household of faith. Amen. Now, in Psalm 68, verse 6, the scripture tells us God sets the solitary in what? In families. He brings out those who are bound into prosperity. Now, don't think that's disconnected. That's one and the same thought. These are connected thoughts. And let me go back and read Galatians 6:10 now in the New Living Translation. It says, therefore, whenever we have an opportunity, we should do good to everyone, especially those in the family of faith. Everybody say family. So God sets you in a spiritual family. And, of course, in a natural family. Because you needed that family, and that family needed you. Like I said before, it's easy to not come to church, but would you miss family? Amen. Amen. See, the next point connected there is you being in your natural spiritual family has everything to do with your prosperity. He sets who? The solitary. Where? In families. The word set there in the Hebrew is the word abide. That's the word abide. Everybody say abide. Say abide means to remain in reference to a place, to tarry, to not to depart, to continue, to be present. You know, even in the business sector, the restaurant, retail, all of these other businesses, there's always a challenge with keeping people in place because everybody wants to quit. Everybody wants to go different places. But see, we shouldn't have a quit mentality as a Christian believer. We are to abide in the household of faith. Amen. So he put us in families with the expectation that we should each stay there. Abide to continue. Amen. Hallelujah. And 1 Corinthians 12:18 says, but now God has set the members. Everybody say set. Each one of them in the body just as he pleased. So God sets you in family, in the family that needed you and you needed them. So you can't sit there, I don't belong to the family. You're in the family whether you want to belong or not. It's all God's doing. He sets you in and it's your job to abide in. Amen? Because here's the big theme. Here's the big promise that we can embrace this morning. If you abide, you will abound. If you abide, you will abound. God is not real big on you being an island or being isolated or independent. He's not real big on being you being self-sufficient or self-sufficiency. In other words, when you say, I don't need nobody else, I don't need God. That's why people really gravitate to living room worship. All I got to do is read my Bible, pray, and watch TV, and then I'm not have no responsibility to relate to anybody. That's why folks stay home. That's why folks opt out on Wednesday night. They get tempted not to abide. Amen. I'm looking down. Nobody's. Hallelujah. As we said before, salvation is personal but not private. So as born again believers, our faith and the exercise of our faith is not to be exclusive just for our me-ness. M-E hyphen N-E-S-S. Our me-ness. But for our we-ness. W-E-N-E-S-S. So I'm not just thinking about myself. I'm thinking about my brothers, my sisters, my family of faith. I'm not thinking about just what I need. I'm thinking about what do they need. I know. Social media makes us really self-centered. Because it's all about what? Self, and for the most part. I mean, ministries do a little different as they're trying to balance the scales a little bit. But then people, you misuse social media. Because it's all about talking about me. Your three favorite people, right? Me, myself, and I. Are you listening to me? See, faith in both individual is both an individual and team sport. Together we believe. Together we receive. Together we stand in faith. Together we serve by faith. Together we trust God by faith. Amen? You got to think about it. How do you measure this right now in the 2007, May 21st? Well, you ask yourself, when's the last time the churches or the family of God's prayer needs have been your prayer needs? Been on your prayer list? How much throne time have you spent in God's face talking about the needs of somebody else? Don't get quiet on me. We talking family business. Amen? Because see, church can be a whole bunch of independent individuals, or it could be a family. A family of faith. Just like your own house. It could be a whole bunch of people, like everybody's like ships passing in the night, and nobody's talking to each other, nobody's doing anything together, and everybody's doing their own thing, but then we're all in the same family. Amen. That's what God wanted. That's what the whole Bible is about. It's about a king, his son, and his family. Amen. People say, well, Christianity is a religion. No, it's not. It's a relationship. It's based on righteousness. That's what the kingdom is about. It's based on relationship, based on righteousness. You have right standing with God. You have a good position with the Father of what? Of the Father of his family. That's why we pray and say, our Father. Ephesians 3:14 says, of whom the Father and the family of heaven and earth is named. There's a heavenly family, but there's also an earthly family. Heaven and earth is a family. Everybody say, I'm in the family. I'm in the family of God. Hallelujah. So if we abide, we will abound. Amen. The focus on the family is to be a focus and a priority in our lives. When's the last time you had the needs of the family on your prayer needs list? is the last time you confess the word of God about the needs of the family? When's the last time you pushed away a meal and fasted and prayed for the family? John 15, 1 through 8. St. John 15, 1 through 8. I am the vine, and your father is the husband. My father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, and he purges it, that he might bring forth more fruit. We talked about that a few weeks ago, those verses. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide. Everybody say abide. Abide in me, and I in you. Except the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. And no more can you, except you abide. Everybody say abide. In me. I am the branch, vine, and you are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. Verse 5. Verse 6. If a man abide, everybody say abide, not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them in the fire, and they are burned. If you abide, everybody say abide. Verse 7, and in me, and in my words abide. Everybody say abide. In you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. Now, relative to this, you think about it. When you don't abide, you can't be a disciple. Because see, to receive Jesus is free, but the following of Jesus costs you something. That's a disciple. There's a cost to discipleship. The cost is abiding. Amen. Now, relative to even giving, we talked about that during the giving teaching a little bit, but we didn't mention this. Some people say, well, I don't have to pay for salvation. Yes, no, you don't. Salvation is free. To receive Jesus is free. But to follow Jesus is going to cost you something. To follow Jesus, you can't follow Jesus for free. You got to follow Jesus with tithes and offerings. Some people say, well, it didn't cost me anything to get saved. Yes, it doesn't cost you anything to get saved, but if you want to follow him, you're going to cost you something. Everybody say, abide in the household of faith. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Now look at verse 6, chapter 16, verse 1. These things are spoken to you. What things? This concept of abiding. This concept of being his disciples. This concept of laying down our life for the brethren. Continuing, abiding, staying, sticking with the Lord. Continuing to be his disciple. He said, I said these things so that you would not be tripped up. This word offended means in the King James, it means scandalizo. Would mean scandalized or stumbled or make you trip and fall. Don't get tripped up because the Lord's asking you to abide. So our fruit bearing depends on our abiding in Christ. And then our abiding in the body of Christ. Because it's a twofold purpose here. Because he said, you abide in me. Christ is the head. We are the body. So there's a abiding in Christ, spiritually speaking. But on the earth, we have a local body of Christ that we are to abide in. So you ask yourself the question, how's my abiding? And he tells us we can't let anything separate or get between our abiding. Woo! See, our healthy abiding produces fruit that will benefit, bless, and build up the body of Christ where we are to abide. See, you're not just in that family for your own needs. You're there to help contribute to their needs. Amen? And some people don't like it real and raw like this, but this is the real deal. They say, well, I just want fire insurance, Pastor. Well, this is not the First Church of Fire Insurance in Frozen Chosen. This is a place where you said you got to sign up for the, we follow Jesus. Following costs us some. We got to put some skin in the game. Somebody say glory to God. All right. Now, then we transfer into the second point I want to give you. Everybody good? Abounding in our house. God's very interested in helping you understand how do you live. So there's common keys, and we're not going to get through all of them, but there's really seven of them. Common success keys that contribute to our healthy, natural, and spiritual functionality as either a family team in our home or as a spiritual family at church. So these are healthy keys that help our natural and spiritual functionality as a family. I mean, your keys are a good thing. So there's secrets to the success of our family. Do you want them? That's only one person. Thank you, Brother Kyle. Hallelujah. Amen. Because God looks at the church as a family. He said, hey, how's the family doing down here? Amen. Secret one, a correct priority structure. A correct priority structure. There is a law of priority, which we'll talk about in just a minute, but if the Lord gives us time here. But Matthew 6:33 says, but seek first, everybody say first, the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Matthew 22:36-39 says, teacher, which is the great commandment of the law? Jesus said to him, if you love the Lord your God with all your heart and all with all your soul and all your mind, this is the first. Everybody say first. And great commandment. And the second. Now notice he's connotating or conveying to us priority. The second is likened to this. You shall love your neighbor as what? Yourself. All right. So the Bible, friends, is crystal clear about priorities. We are commanded by God to put him first and people second. Everybody say God first, people second. Now take inventory. Is God first in your life? Now this is in every arena, every sphere, and every realm of your life. Everything. God is first. You know, in the Old Testament, they did the Ten Commandments. Moses did the Ten Commandments from God. He said, thou shalt have no other God before me. Some people talk to people before they talk to God. God's first. Everybody say God's first. Hallelujah. And I don't mean that harmful or anything like that, but when you have an issue or problem, who should you talk to first? You should already pray about it. Because he's the one who's the priority in your life. I talk to God. I don't call everybody else and try to talk to everybody else, and then I go talk to God. No. You talk to God first. Father, this is what I got going on. Some people talk with their friends, their girlfriend, their boyfriend, their husband and wife, they Pookie and Ray Ray and them. Come on now. You don't need to talk to them first. You include God. You don't exclude God. Everybody say people God first, people second. So establishing priorities in our lives and families is a high stakes issue. I remember the difference. It means a difference between being blessed or battered, being intimate or enemies, being a success or a statistic. Successful families are always families with a correct priority structure purposely entrenched in their lives. Can somebody say praise the Lord? So this doesn't happen by accident. It happens because we make the choice to arrange our decisions, our practices, our lifestyles to honor God first, then family. Now, these are three important truths concerning priorities. Number one, priorities demonstrate our value system, as well as the value systems we pass on to our children and those in the next generation. Priorities demonstrate our value system. We show our priorities by what we do. What do? With our money? Do we go out to eat, go to the movies, go and have fun, hang out first? Or do we tithe and offerings and honor God first? Well, praise the Lord. I mean, this is where rubber meets the road, right? Because, you know, as they say, whether your actions are speaking so loudly, I can't hear what you're saying. You need to go read your Bible and pray. Well, did they see you read your Bible and pray? Hallelujah. We said it last week. The example we said before, we heard it from others, that everything you do eventually becomes history. But everything you set in motion becomes legacy. So as an example, let's look at a couple of areas. Like we said, tithing, giving, your generosity, your church attendance. If they see you opt out on church, what are they going to do? If they see you fall asleep in church, I'm telling you, I looked at another super soaker in Walmart the other day. I said, I'm going to grab a soaker. Put it right behind that pulpit. So I'm going to light you up when you get, your eyes get heavy. I'm going to lighten you up. I also saw one of those dog things where you put the little ball in there that it would chase. So I had to figure out if that's too forceful or not. But boom, put the ball in. Wake up. Come on. We talking about things that can change your life forever. Because we learned our way, we grown. We think we know everything. We think we got it all together. I ain't got nothing else to learn or receive from God. I know how to run my family. That's my business. No, it's His business. If you belong to Him, it's His business. It's His business on what goes on in your family. Somebody say hallelujah. See, when God examines our priorities, His scrutiny isn't placed prominent on what we say or believe. His scrutiny is on what we practice. Do you practice church attendance and commitment and faithfulness? Do you practice that? Do you practice acting on the word of God, speaking the word of faith, or are you a world champion worry wart that just goes around and passes your stress and burdens on to your children and your children's children? Do they see you watching drama mamas and drama daddies and all this junk and drama TV and crazy stuff where they're cussing and demons and witches and warlords, and you just soaking that all up in? What you trying to pass on? We're talking about building healthy households. And you listening to all that boom, 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 dropping like a hot, boom, 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 and you in there bumping in your car. And you're not, come on now. Instead of bumping in the Holy Ghost, they see you bumping in your car and watching YouTube like they do, and woo, 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 woo. They say, well, that's what we're supposed to do. Well, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Y'all don't make me cut up now. We got guests here today. All right, so number two. Right priorities promote health and growth, the most important things in our lives. Wrong priorities prohibit growth and health. So right priorities promote health and growth. Healthy things grow. Amen? So we got got to make sure there's health so that there can be growth in our family. Wrong priorities prohibit growth and health. Biblical priorities are protective parameters that keep the most important things as the most important things. Priorities are made evident by how we spend our time, our energy, and our money. If we give the first of these things to God, God stays first in our lives, in our relationships, and with him flourishes. Amen? A powerful example, we quoted during the offering teaching, was Matthew 6:21. For where your treasure is, there's your heart is. This word treasure is like the word treasury. The Greek word is thesaurus, where we get the English word thesaurus, but it's a deposit, a treasury, a locked up treasure. And most importantly, there is your heart will be. This word heart is the word cardio, which means what the center of your emotional place of where your energy and emotions and your time, your focus is. So Jesus is telling us that our real feelings and focus will be whatever we establish the places to deposit and secure what we treasure. Our time, our energy, and our money. How much time do you spend on the things of God versus the things of this world? Because right priorities promote what? Health and growth. I mean, that was good enough for you to comb your hair. I don't have much hair. See, some of us don't have much hair. But you get up and comb your hair in the morning. Because you say, I got to reorder my priorities. If I'm spending all my time watching CBS, CNN, NBC, and ESPN, and all those other places, then I'm promoting the wrong priorities. Well, praise the Lord. Let me keep going. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What do you spend your time, energy, and money? It's impossible to separate your treasure from your heart. Because Jesus said, where your treasure is, that's where your heart will be. If you're hanging out with the homies and all they want to do is ungodly stuff, then that's where your heart's going to be. That's why you talk about money sometimes so much in an offering. Yeah, because I want your heart. If I don't have your money, I don't have your heart. Because you value that. You value what you put your money on, your time, your energy into. You don't see at church, it's a big deal. Well, praise the Lord. Let me keep going. Number three, the third essential priority is God, family, and church. Everybody say it with me. God, family, and church. So there's a distinction I want to make between God and church that I want to submit to you. Our devotion to God is a personal issue. It has to do with your personal prayer, your obedience to the word, and giving God the first and best of your lives every day and in every arena of your life. So how much throne time do you spend? How much time in God's presence do you spend? Do you get in the presence of God? You can tell when people hadn't been in the presence of God because they act like they've never been in the presence of God. The presence of God is to be oxygen to your soul. It's to be the fragrance that comes off of your life that I've been with God. I've been with Jesus. That should ooze through your pores when you deal with everything else in life, that you've been with the Lord. Hallelujah. It's possible to be highly involved in church without really giving prior to God in your life. We need to be mindful and clear and not to be confused. God and church. Giving God priority means we seek and serve him on a personal level, moment by moment. That means you walk with the Lord. You talk with the Lord. You trust in him. You lean on him. You exercise your faith in him. You read his word. You feed on the word. You meditate in the word. Come on now. You speak the word. Yes. Because the word is and God are one, and you just communicate him through his word and through the Holy Spirit. Praise God. It means that he goes where we go, and that he is invited as Lord into our relationships. That means everybody. Everybody knows that I know the Lord. I'm coming over your house. Yes, come on over. Jesus is here too. Hallelujah. You go over their house, I'm bringing Jesus with me. You go to buy a new car, I'm bringing Jesus with me. Come on now. So you invite Jesus as Lord in your relationships, your finances, financial decisions, your traumas, your successes, your conversations, and your thought life. Now let me emphasize church importance for a moment. You know, for people who have made a commitment to God and family, it is essential to have a support network of like people of like precious faith. Amen? Because church is a spiritual family. Church is not an institution. It's not only an institution ordained by God to spread the gospel, but it's a relational base of accountability, spiritual support, and encouragement for the saints. Can somebody say amen? So as Christian parents and grandparents, the church should be an important extension to us and to our children and grandchildren. School of the Bible, church, School of the Bible, Super Kid Academy, Children's Church, our Elevation Youth should also reinforce in your children and grandchildren and teenagers what you are teaching at home. Thank you for a few amens there. Praise God. So in other words, what we do at church should be a reinforcement of what you're doing at the house. Parents, saints of God, our children, our youth ministries at church are not to be places where your child are to be places where your child are disciplined in the Word of God, where they build important godly relationships and friendships. Again, too often our precious children and teenagers and grandchildren, in some of you guys' cases, are exposed to negative and ungodly companions at schools, in their neighborhood, via the internet, social media, and that they have to navigate through those things. You know, 1 Corinthians 15:33 says, do not be deceived. Evil communication corrupts good habits. Now this word, literally, the word deceived literally means to throw your nose up at God. How you throw your nose up at God? I can hang around these bad boys and I ain't going to be bad. I can hang around these bad girls and I ain't going to be bad. I can hang around these people who operate in slimy behavior and they are turkeys and crazy creatures and stuff like that. I don't have to worry about them. I'm all right. No, you're not all right, because what you're doing is you're throwing your nose up at God. Some people think they can do it without church. Some people think that they can stick their nose in the air and mention at the mention of going to church and establishing relationships with healthy, godly people while they continue to build their primary relationships with non-Christians and non-practicing Christians. Everybody gets quiet when I talk about that, because we call people friends who are covenant-like. They don't even believe. Now, you can be friendly to them, but be mindful and cautious of this verse. The warnings of this verse is when you get evil company around you. Now, evil is not meaning somebody's going to be a bank robber or a thief. They might be a morally decent person, but not being born again, not having Jesus as Lord, makes them in the category of evil. So your position, your posture is always to draw them to the Lord and to surrender to him as Lord. Are you listening to me? That's where you share Christ and you show Christ through your attitude and actions and behavior, but you share Christ at the prime opportunities you can to bring them to Christ. You don't run with them and they shooting up and they drinking up and they running around. Well, praise the Lord. Is this okay? Is this too much? Are we okay? Okay. So not only do these non-Christian or non-practicing Christians, do these people lack the weekly accountability and spiritual support from fellow believers, but they're also constantly exposed to wrong examples, wrong thinking, and wrong advice. And that's getting into you. That will eventually get into you. And that environment, even the strongest Christians in the world, will be worn down in time. You can't put yourself in that environment constantly and stay strong spiritually. These priorities are an essential part of a healthy family and healthy family life. Praise God. Secret number two. Well, praise the Lord. Y'all good?
Yes.
Just two more. I mean, this one and the next one. We'll be finished. A balance of grace and truth. Everybody say grace and truth. John 1:14 says, and the word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. The glory is the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Everybody say grace and truth. So grace and truth are inseparable partners. Grace by itself kills. It's a harsh taskmaster with no loyal subject. Grace by itself is a cheerleader without a team. It's a spineless organism without strength or definition. Consider these tenets, friends. Relationships without truth, relationships of truth without grace dry up. Relationships of grace without truth blow up. Relationships of truth and grace grow up. One of the most important, powerful, determining factors, friends, of our concept of God is the character of our parents and relational atmosphere of the home in which we were raised. Now, so there's an important balance relating to parenting. So parents, grandparents, listen up. Amen. Rules plus relationship equal righteousness. That's the formula for parenting. Rules plus relationship equal righteousness. Everybody say it with me. Rules plus relationship equal righteousness. So if you separate rules from relationship, the formula changes. Rules minus relationship equal rebellion. So that's where you get parents who demand obedience from their children but provide no supportive relationship. Rules without relationship always breeds rebellion. Now, I often say this, relationships should be over rules. Relationship first, rules second. And another possible equation of our parenting formula is this, relationships minus rules equals destruction. Now we said rules minus relationship equals what? Rebellion. Everybody say rebellion. So relationship minus rules equals destruction. So you got to establish ground rules, operating parameters, guidelines, healthy boundaries in your relationships. Some parents are relational with their children, but they don't provide rules. Proverbs 3:3-4 says, let not mercy and truth forsake you. Bind them about your neck. Write them on the table of your heart. And so shall you find favor and high esteem in the sight of God and man. Somebody say, glory to God. Now, there's a lot more to say of that, but I'm going to skip to number three because of time. I'm going to close with three. And then we got four more to cover. We'll kind of review these next week by the grace and help of God. Secret number three. Key number three. Healthy dependency. Everybody say healthy dependency. See, in this day and time when we hear so much about personal independence, we need to be reminded of one thing. God created mankind to be dependent beings. God created mankind to be dependent beings. Each one of us is dependent on God because God created us that way. He's not going to create you to not need him. He's not going to call you to do something without needing him. He's not going to ask you to believe for something without needing him. Amen? The ultimate perversion of God's creation is independence. And that's what social media, the ungodly side of social media, promotes independence. I can say whatever I want to say. I can talk real big behind a device. I can tweet. I can send out terrible tweets because I can. I'm independent. You can't mute me. You can't manage me. You can't control me. You know, the people like that, you know, that rebellious nature. So that's the ultimate perversion of God's creation is independent. That's what Satan wanted to do in the beginning. He said, four or five I wills. I will. He was in a position where he was the anointed cherub that covered the earth, and then he got up and thought, I will exalt myself against the stars of God. I'm going to set my throne above the stars, against the sides of the north. I will be like the Most High. I'm going to have my own kingdom, just like God. And God cut him down like lightning. Why? That independent spirit comes from the devil. I don't need anybody.